7. Amos chapter 7. While you're looking for Amos chapter 7, I would like to ask for your prayer. And later when we show our slides, you'll get to see the person whom we're going to pray for. Her name is Ivy, and she's deaf, and we believe she's accepted Christ now. She'd be the only person in her family who comes to our church. And we left the Philippines. Well, we left Mactan Island in July and started our way on our furlough. And we found out in August that Ivy was sick. This morning we found out that she's still sick. So please pray for Ivy. Before we begin studying God's Word together in Amos chapter 7, shall we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and for God to change our lives? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, this morning we give you praise and honor and glory. We worship you as our God and as our King and as our Master and as our Savior. We praise you for your love and thank you for it. We praise you for your word, and that we thank you, Lord, that we can depend on it because every word is true, because it's from you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for salvation. We praise you, Lord, for everyone here who is saved. And we ask, Lord, that if anyone here today or someone coming is unsaved, that they will hear the gospel and they will understand it and that they'll receive Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray for the other missionaries in this conference, asking, Lord, that you would bless and refresh them and that you would speed them to their fields, Lord. We ask now, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts through your word. I ask forgiveness for my sins, and I ask that you'd cleanse me and that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to give your word the way you want it to be given. Speak to our hearts now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So first we're going to read the first three verses, and then I'm going to give you probably several introductions, and then we'll go back through and hopefully really understand it and be blessed by God's word. So Amos chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. So first of all, I would like to show to you, try to prove to you why I think this is a missions passage. You probably got nothing about missions from that passage when we read it. So the way I see missions is that a missionary is someone who crosses boundaries or they cross borders. So they may cross a geographical border to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or they may cross a cultural boundary. Maybe you're in your same place, but the people that you're going to share the gospel with are of a different culture. And so there's some kind of adjustment to be made. Or a missionary may cross a language boundary where you're not speaking in your own language. You need to speak in theirs for them to understand the gospel. But a missionary crosses boundaries or borders. So the prophet Amos lived in a time in which Israel had for a long time been divided into two nations. Before, it was one nation. But then, I believe it was during the reign of the fourth king of Israel, Rehoboam, that Israel was divided into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, though these two countries had a common beginning, once they split, things changed. You see, in the northern kingdom of Israel, true priests of God were not welcome. and true prophets of God were not welcome. What they wanted was idolatry, false god worship. And if you're ever, let's say you have an Old Testament test, or maybe there's some type of trivia game, and they ask about some king of Israel, and it's clearly during the time that Israel had been divided into two kingdoms, if they ask, was this certain king from the northern kingdom a good king or a bad king? The answer is bad. They were all bad. Not one of them was good. And so you got your answer. Okay. So when we say bad, what we mean is they did not lead the country to serve and worship the true God. They set up idols and led the people to worship false gods. So that's why they're bad. We don't need another reason. That's already enough. So, after years and years, the northern kingdom of Israel, this was a godless place. Now, they had God, and God loved them. But as far as their minds and hearts went, it was godless. The southern kingdom of Judah became a very different nation from the northern kingdom. I kind of think of the southern kingdom of Judah like the United States. How so? Well, it does not matter what your party is here in America or what your political leanings are. I think I could say all Americans agree that in our history in the United States, up to this very day, there have been good presidents. And there have been bad presidents. Am I right? We all agree. We don't agree on which ones were good and which ones were bad. But we do all agree we've had both. Right? Okay. The southern kingdom of Judah was like that. They had some kings that tore down idols and they promoted worshiping God. The true God. But then the next king would come and he would put up idols and lead the nation to idolatry. So they went back and forth and you had some good and some bad. But their nation had been introduced to the worship of the true God and they'd been introduced to horrible false religions. These two nations, after so many years, were two different places, two different countries, two different religions, two different cultures. They're two different places. The prophet Amos was from Judah. And God called the prophet Amos to leave his job. He was basically a farmer. He picked fruit from sycamore trees. Think figs. And he was a herdsman, or from my understanding, like a shepherd. God called him to leave his trade and to go to the northern kingdom of Israel to give God's word. By my definition, he's a missionary. He left his home. He went somewhere else. Same language, different culture, different place. So, God gave Amos a lot of messages, but he also gave him five visions. Look with me in verse 1 of chapter 7. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me. This is the first of five visions that God gave Amos to see and then to report to Israel, a nation that did not ask him to come, but God told him to go there. And he was a seeing prophet or a seer. There were oral prophets where they'd open their mouths and God's word would come out. There were writing prophets where they put whatever writing instrument they had to whatever type of paper they had, and out God's word would come and it's not from them, it's from God. And there were seers. God would show them a vision, not like your dreams or nightmares. Okay, those come from staying up too late, watching a certain type of program, or eating something too late. Okay, that comes from your poor brain trying to process it all. But these visions were from God, God himself. And it's something that God would show that the prophet, after he saw it, was then to report. And then also record for us, because it's also for us. So this first vision, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. Let's stop there for a moment. Grasshoppers. Think locusts. Any of you have a farming background or are related to someone with a farming background? Okay. What's the last thing you want to see coming to your farm? A locust, right? Is that a blessing or is that a judgment? This vision is of a judgment by locust plague. So we're talking about God sending a missionary to go to the mission field and tell them, God is going to judge you. And it's going to be a locust plague. Look with me again, and we'll read the whole verse so we don't get lost. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. For those of you who have any type of farming experience, I have some, and it's all in failure. And my dad, my poor dad, you know, both my brother and I, we were horrible at everything he told us to do. A lot of corn died at my hand. But there's a time that you hoe. There's a time that you weed. There's a time that you plant. It's not that order. There's a time that you water. There's a time that you start seeing it come up. There's a time that you reap. Well, if locusts come towards the beginning of the farming season, maybe there's time to start again. Maybe. But this, all these words here, is telling us that in this vision, it was the latter part of the season, when it's not much longer before the harvest. In other words, if locusts come at that time and they eat everything, there's no more time to start over. You have no food. You're going to starve. So this is about judgment. Let's continue in verse 2. We're still in this vision. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of the eating of the grass of the land, so the vision's over, and in the vision, the locusts ate everything. Nothing left. Let's continue. Then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small. And here we are at our first two points. You see, Amos was not from Israel. He's from Judah. He doesn't know these people. But he found out what's about to happen to them. And he immediately prayed for them and said, God, I beg you, please don't do this. There's no way they're going to recover. Jacob here, you know, he is the man whose name was changed to Israel. And his children, his family became the children of Israel. And then eventually they became the nation of Israel. And missionaries love the people. That's our first point. Make no mistake, it is not the missionary's idea to go to the field. It is not. God loves the people more than the missionary does. It's not possible for the missionary to love anyone as much as God does. It's God's idea. Missions is God's idea. And God calls the missionary because God loves the people. And then the missionary goes because the missionary loves God and is obedient. But somewhere in there, the missionaries develop a love for the people. For whatever reason, it might just be because God put the love in their heart. It might be that they met some and it's just now they love them. For whatever reason, missionaries love the people. And we're at our next point now. So what do? Missionaries pray for the people. They are prayer warriors. You receive our prayer letters and we ask you to pray for the people. That's because we love them and we're praying for them and we would like more prayer. And that's why I'm asking you this morning, please pray for Ivy. She has been sick since August. Please pray for Ivy. She is special. She's special to God. She's special to our family. After church each Sunday, most Sundays, she will eat lunch with us, depending on what we cook. When my wife is there and cooks, Ivy tells us she's going to eat with us today. When my wife is not there and I bring peanut butter and jelly and bread, Ivy tells us that she's going to be eating at home today. The first time she ate with us, after that, no more peanut butter and jelly. So, missionaries love the people. And missionaries are prayer warriors. We pray for the people. And we ask you to join us to pray for them also. So this was Amos's prayer in the end of verse 2. O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee. That's like saying, I beg, I plead, I pray. By whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small? Israel will never survive that kind of a plague. Please forgive them. They're just small. They're weak. We may think we're strong, but when God judges, you have no hope other than to repent. If you don't know Christ, you repent, you receive Christ. That is your only hope. If you are saved and you are living in sin, your only hope is to repent, because it doesn't matter how strong you think you are small. This whole nation was small. So, what are our points so far? Missionaries love the people. And missionaries are prayer warriors. Let's go on and read verse 3 again. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. So before we get to our next point, we need to deal with that word repented. Imagine God repented. For most of us, that sounds strange. God repented. Did God do something wrong? God never sins. So we need to find out, we need to think about this word repent. To repent, for most of us, for a lot of Christians, repent means I was in sin and now I'm sorry and I'm asking forgiveness. God, please forgive me. And so I repented. But that's not exactly what repent means. Repent means to change your direction or to change the course of your action. So, if you go to camp and you hear all these wonderful messages, and then you make some decision for the Lord, we might call that repentance. But if you come back the next week and go back to your old lifestyle, and the next year when you go to camp again, you have to make the same decision, that's not repentance. Okay. That's remorse. You're sorry. But sorry and repentance are not the same thing. Repentance means you were going this direction. You were in sin. And now you realize this is wrong. Or maybe you knew before, but now you've decided this is wrong. I am sorry, but I'm going to change. And now I'm going to follow God. When you make that change, that is repentance. It's to change your course of action. It's to change your direction. You change. Okay. Now, I'd like to share with you, and I'm not recommending this, but I just want us all to understand what repentance means. If you've been serving God for 20 years, and now you say, this is boring, I'm going dancing, that is also repentance. You left God, you changed, and now you're going to do something wrong. Repentance is about the change, whatever direction you change. We usually use it because usually it's true that you're in sin and now you're going to serve God. Okay. That's why we think that that's the only way. But repentance is about change. So when the Bible says, and any time you see it, that God repented, the Lord repented, and usually it's in the Old Testament, it doesn't mean that God did something wrong and now he's going to do something right. It means because you changed, or because you stopped your sin, or because you prayed, now God will change his course of action in answer to your prayer. So God repenting is, he was going to judge this way, but now he's going to bless this way. Or God was going to bless, but because you're in sin, now he's going to judge. So that's what we mean by repentance. Look with me, please, in verse 3. Our first two points are, missionaries love the people, and missionaries pray, are prayer warriors. They pray for the people. Verse 3, the Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Because Amos prayed, the locust judgment was canceled. Our third point. We could say, missionaries get their prayers answered. Or even better than that, God answers prayer. Okay? When people who know God pray, God answers prayer. The whole judgment was canceled because one man prayed. So this brings us to our next vision. Verse 4. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and deep eat up a part. The first vision was of a locust plague judgment. That got canceled because of prayer. But now, there's a new vision, and it's of fire, and Israel burning up. And I don't know about you, I don't want a locust plague, but this is worse. The whole land fire on fire, burning up, that's worse. So a judgment by fire. In verse 5, this is Amos's reaction to this second judgment. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small? Amos sees it the same way I do. This is worse. God, stop. Please don't do this. There is no way that they will survive this fire. In verse 6, the Bible says, the Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Missionaries love the people. Missionaries are prayer warriors. And God answers prayer. But then there's another judgment. And Amos did not give up. Missionaries persevere. That means we keep on keeping on. Missions is not just easy. You don't just go to the field and share God's word. And then everyone's accepted Christ. The only time I've heard about everyone responding to a message was in the book of Jonah. Okay. Usually people don't respond right away. In the Philippines, when we have Bible studies with people, it usually is 6 months to a year and a half before we see a real decision and someone's life change. It takes a while. And most people, I mean, some people, the first time you hear the gospel, you receive Christ. But with many, many others, that's not our story. You know, if you could make other people's decisions for them,
I would.
There are so many decisions. But you can't even make your husband or wife's decisions for them, right? Don't you wish sometimes you could? Wouldn't life be easier? And let me ask you, how many of you wish that you could make your children's decisions for them? So, you know, when they're age 1 to 5, a lot of times you can. But when they're 25 or 30 or even 15, don't you wish you could make the decision? You can't. And trust me, if we were in a different class, the teens would also say that they wish they could make their parents' decisions for them. Right? But we can't. And I cannot accept Christ for you. And you can't accept Christ for someone else. It doesn't work that way. Our job is to give the word, to give the gospel. God already did his job. He already sent Christ to take our sins, and he paid for them on the cross, and he died so that and was buried and rose again and now has the power to save anyone who will trust in him, who will believe on Christ and accept Christ's sacrifice for the full and complete and permanent salvation and payment for all of our sins from our position, past, present, and future. But as far as the cross, as far as God's concerned, all of our sins were future. He paid for all of them. Our job is to tell. God already did his part. Salvation is just available for everyone. But it is the individual who must respond. And the missionary perseveres and keeps on keeping on. Regardless of all of the things that may happen to discourage, regardless of whatever they may miss about their original country, they persevere. They keep on keeping on. So, this clock up here and I are not friends. Let's quickly go to our final point this morning. Verse 6 says, "The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord. Two judgments have been canceled, a locust plague and a judgment by fire." Now there's a third vision. Verse 7, "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand." So this third vision is different from the first two. It's a vision of the Lord on top of a wall. Think of not a wall like in the building here, but like a city wall surrounding Jerusalem, if you will. Except this is about the northern kingdom of Israel, not Jerusalem. But they built walls around their cities. And think of this vision of, it's the Lord standing there and he's got a plumb line. What's a plumb line? Well, construction people know. It's some type of a string, but not like a yarn. More like, think something like a fishing line, if you will. And it's got some type of a weight tied to it so that the weight makes the line perfectly straight if you hold the line and the weight's at the bottom. And you can put that up next to any wall and you could measure to see if the wall was made straight or if it was made right. Because if it wasn't, the plumb line, would end up touching the wall or going one direction or the other. But if the wall's made right, the line is also going to be parallel to it perfectly. So it's a measuring instrument to see if something was built right. But let's not think about walls and about something built right. Let's think about souls and if they're righteous. So the idea here is the Lord measuring the people's hearts and souls. Do they love him? Are they right with him? That's what this vision is of. It's the Lord standing and testing or judging to see if the people of Israel are righteous. Verse 8, "And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? and I set a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. What is this, I will not pass by them again anymore? What is that? Let's think of pass by. Who does pass by? I think of a guard hired to watch a building, a business, if you will, or a community. And they might walk back and forth if they're doing their job. Some of the ones I've seen in the Philippines, some of them do their job. Others put sunglasses on and put their hat down and they sit back and they're asleep. It's clear. But some guards, they're meant to pass by maybe a certain window or a certain part to make sure that it's safe. When you're passing by something, you're protecting it. I think of a mother who has a baby or a child. And maybe that baby or child sleeps in a different room. And instead of sleeping all night, ladies, what do mothers do? They will get up throughout the night to check to see if this baby is okay. To see, is this child sleeping soundly? Or are they still there? Mothers, they do a good job. They pass by their children. They protect them. They guard them. Long live mothers. God said, because of the wickedness of Israel, because they don't know him, they don't want to know him, they reject him, they refuse to follow him, they won't even listen, I will not pass by them anymore. I will not guard them. I will not protect them. They're going to be judged. That's what God is saying here. Look with me, please, in verse 9. And this is our last verse. And I hope you come tonight. That's our first verse tonight when I get to speak again. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate. And the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. God saying, I will judge Israel. I will judge Israel. I will judge their religious places because their religious places, they didn't call it churches, but any place they have for worship, it's false God worship. And God will not meet you there. He wants to meet you where you're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. And God said, I'm cleaning that place out. And God said that even the king. And in verse 9, it says, I will rise against the house of Jeroboam, the king, Jeroboam the king, and his family, and his administration, all the people working with him. They're going to be cleaned out. They're going to be judged. And the Bible says, I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. So this judgment is a judgment of sword or war. Israel will be attacked by a foreign nation. They will be taken over. They will be wiped out. And it's because they would not respond to God and accept him. They will be judged. This is a prophecy. It would be soon. Amos is just the speaker. Missionaries love the people. Missionaries are prayer warriors. God answers prayer. And missionaries persevere. They keep on keeping on. But missionaries cannot save souls. If the soul will not listen, they will be judged. So what kind of a way is that to end a message? It's this way. We're not enough. Let's go back to the God answers prayer. Pray with us. Pray God that God will speak to their hearts. Pray that they will listen. Pray that they will understand. Pray that we can speak God's word in their language clearly. We need your help. We love the people. I believe you do too. Let's work together. Pray more. If we give you a name to pray for that name. That they might not be judged, but they might be saved. Pastor.